Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
And welcome to the Niches Podcast Future Edge. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here today doing a solo episode. And what I want to talk to you all about is the last couple of episodes. So we have a two-part series that came out with Raquel. And one of her main concerns or things that she wanted to talk about with me was, how do I retire at 45? And then the other episode that we had come out was an episode with Sarah, who is a person I met, gosh, I think around 10 years ago, and she's really changed the trajectory of her life over the last 10 years. And so I thought this would be helpful, and it would be great if you could let me know if you do think this is helpful. You can send us a message on the website or a DM on Instagram or on TikTok and let us know. But I was thinking it would be helpful going forward if I kind of reviewed what I think the big takeaways are from the conversations I've had throughout the month. And so to start off, if you like the show and you're happy with the educational content we're putting out, please subscribe and follow. And as always, share with a friend. The more people that learn about personal finance, the better. And so what I want to review with Raquel's episode is, she had the idea of retiring early because that's what she saw with her parent, with her father, who was successfully able to retire early. There were a couple key pieces in there that allowed him to do that. One, I think, which is the biggest, was being able to retire back to his home country, where the cost of living was substantially lower while he was making higher wages here in the United States. Additionally, it seems like he was saving pretty aggressively. Also, the biggest item that we don't know is we don't actually know his financial situation, right? We don't know how much he was saving, what his budget is, and exactly how the mechanism was that he was able to retire early. We have a lot of people that come on the show that are very interested in what I call FIRE, and so retiring early. And I will say what I think the key to being able to retire early, and early is dependent on who you are. Some people say retiring early is 55. Other people say they want to retire at 45. Is there's a couple of key pieces. One, you will most likely need to be debt-free. So number one, in order to retire early, my recommendation is that you should be debt-free. Number two is you should and probably should have had very low expenses for the period of time you're accruing wealth, no debt and low expenses. And then you should anticipate or at least make it more viable, you'll need to have low expenses when you retire. And third, you're going to need to have the investment saved to support the budget for the desired amount of time, right? So I like to think about this as a math equation. So if you want to retire early, what do you need to live on? How old are you? How long is your actuarial life expectancy? So as a female, we have longer life expectancies than men. And so I treat it as a math equation. So at what age and how much is the desired income? And I like to, as you've all heard on the previous episodes, I like to break early retirement down different than what I call old age retirement. And I never want to jeopardize your old age retirement for your early retirement, because it's one thing to retire early. We've read about it. People retire early and then decide it's not for them. And then they want to go back to work. That's not a big deal if you're 45 or 55. You say, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going to go back into the workforce for another 5, 10, 15, whatever it is, years. It is very different, in my opinion, than at 75 or 80 saying, oof, I don't have enough money, and then trying to go back and support yourself. It's a very different scenario. And so the key components are, if you want to retire early or younger, would be no debt, understanding what your budget is. So, and I would keep expenses low. And then separating that time horizon out from what I like to call your old age retirement. So if, God forbid, retiring from 45 to 65, so your early young retirement doesn't work out, you haven't jeopardized your permanent retirement. I think that's really critical. And then, you know, this could be a different scenario. If you sold a business at 25 or at 30 and you came into a large sum of money, that's a totally different scenario. I'm talking about the normal person saving up and being able to retire young. I also think what helps is having another income stream to support that. So whether that's rental income or a hobby job, we had one woman came on who said she was going to be a snowboard instructor in the winters, and that would help support it, plus having rental income. So I personally believe there needs to be another stream coming in. So it's not just investment income, but some other stream of income coming in. Real estate to me is top of mind. People don't associate that with having a job. It's still work. So I think there's a few ways you can do it. I do think it's difficult to do. I'm not going to say it's easy. And I believe it takes a lot of advanced planning to do that. And I do believe it takes a lot of sacrifice in the time leading up to that to be able to do that. So typically what I see when someone comes on the show and they are able to retire early is they've made significant sacrifices on the prior period, whether that was 10, 20, 25 years, in order to set themselves up for an early retirement. So if it's something that interests you, I think you need to start early with the plan, reduce debt, reduce your budget, increase your savings, and then really map out what will you need in order to do an early retirement? And then also, how do you protect what I like to call your old age retirement? So I think that's the big takeaway from Raquel's two-part series, is talking about how do you ramp up saving, and then is it realistic or not realistic, depending on your situation, to have an early retirement? And I will say, I don't think there's anything wrong with having your traditional career where you work and live and then just do an old age retirement. It's really personal preference. So if you're willing to scrap some of your expenditures, right, your spending, in order to get yourself to an early retirement, because that is your priority and that is your goal, that's fine. But that's not for everybody, right? To live with roommates, or there's a lot of sacrifices that you need to make to keep your expenses low, to increase your savings ratio. And there are other episodes on here where we talk to people who have been successful at doing that, but usually it takes a lot of sacrifice. So I think the lesson to take away from the two-part series with Raquel is that if you want to retire young, I would separate that in terms of early retirement versus your traditional old age retirement, which I would still protect, and that the ways to do that will involve debt reduction and having no debt going into that period, in my opinion, low expenses, and most likely having low expenses the entire time, a very high savings ratio. And then I think you're going to need to have a plan on how to execute that, what you're going to live off of, and then what happens if it doesn't work out. And then that's why I like to protect the old age retirement. Our other episode of this month was with a guest named Sarah, who met with me 10 years ago and has dramatically changed her net worth. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I would go back and listen to that. This is a pretty high-end episode. Obviously, the guests run the gamut, and sometimes we get write-ins that say that what we need to represent people of different income thresholds. If you're in a different income threshold, write in. We're always taking guests. We do 40 or maybe 30 guest episodes each season. So if you're interested, or you have someone that you think would be a great guest, send them over. But she has gone into entrepreneur land, has been quite successful, has multiple businesses. And so what we talked about a few things, one of which is just a friendly reminder: when you are doing well, you can cap out on the Roth IRA contribution limit. So people forget. So with a Roth IRA, depending on your age, there's a catch-up for over 50, but the regular contribution amount, if you're under 50, is 7,000, but you can only do that if you make below a certain amount of money. So as a single filer, your modified adjusted gross income for 2024 needs to be below 146,000 for you to be eligible for the full contribution amount. And then married filing jointly, you have to have modified adjusted gross income for 2024. You need to be below $230,000. Now, interestingly enough, based on her tax return, with when you own a business, you can write down your expenses and therefore your income can be different. And so we talked a little bit about that. And I always think the Roth IRA is a good reminder of it's not available to everybody. It's only available if you make below a certain income level. And you also have to have earned income, meaning you have to have some sort of employment income to do so. Also what we talked about, which is very, very, what I would call high level planning, is we talked about two concepts, which we don't talk about that often. One of which is how or what is a self-directed IRA. A self-directed IRA can be a traditional IRA, it can be a Roth IRA. And what that is, a self-directed IRA in either capacity, it allows you to make investments with your IRA. Roth are traditional. It usually involves a third-party company to administer this for you because it's a bit complex. So there are companies that specialize in this. And so just like in your regular IRA or your Roth IRA, where we'll just say you can buy the stock of company ABC, you could also do that, but with a privately owned company, or for instance, you could buy real estate. And so you're not beholden to the publicly traded markets, mutual funds, ETFs, stocks, and bonds, like we know. But you could also make private investments inside of an IRA as long as it's self-directed, which is just a different vehicle for the IRA or the Roth IRA. So we talked a little bit about that with her because she's an entrepreneur and she does investing outside of what I'll call the traditional stock or bond market. And so that is a vehicle that is allowed. It's just a little bit more complicated. I would obviously recommend that you work with a company that specializes it. I'd also recommend that you have a good CPA, as I often do. We talked a little bit about that. And the other thing we talked about, which has come up a bit so far this year, is we talked about collateral lending on non-IRA, so non-retirement lending. And so what I think is really interesting as you start to build non-retirement money, so private money invested, is that you can borrow against it, just like you can borrow against a house. And so the lending amount depends on the lender and the diversity of your portfolio, but you can take a loan out against investments. And I always think that's really interesting. So right now we have higher interest rates, so maybe the rate isn't attractive. It's generally a floating rate. And so, but it had been very attractive before interest rates went up to loan against your investments. And I'll just give you a scenario. So you were going to buy a property and you didn't want it. You're buying one property, selling another property, but there's an interim, right? So you're going to buy property A before property B sells. So you have a need for money, but just in a specified period. So instead of selling all of your investments to come up with the cash that you need to buy property A before property B sells, what you can do, which is tax efficient, is you can take a loan against your investments, collateral is called collateral lending, and then use the money from that to buy property A. And then when property B sells, you pay off your loan. So that's one way. That's one example of how lending against investments can be used. And so I just think it's an interesting feature. I don't think it's talked about a lot, but that is an available option. I'm all about knowing what your options are, and then you decide what is the most suitable for your own situation. Obviously, everyone's situation is different. But I thought those were two really interesting takeaways from the episode with Sarah. We're talking about the availability of self-directed IRAs, just explaining that allows for investing in more than just the what I'll call the public markets. You can do private investing that way as long as it meets your requirements. There's obviously rules. And then the other item that I thought was really interesting from Sarah's episode was collateral lending. So the availability or option to lend against a non-retirement account, an investment account, in case you needed cash to come up with something temporarily. I guess the other one interesting takeaway, I think, from her episode is because she's an entrepreneur and because she has written down her incomes, her income doesn't show as high as maybe she's actually, as it actually is. She wants to buy a house. She lives in a very high cost of living area, and that is going to make it difficult for her to qualify because they're going to look at her earnings and say, you don't have enough, your salary isn't high enough to support the mortgage. And so I do believe she'll probably have a hard time qualifying for a house, for a traditional mortgage. She has enough money that she could potentially maybe leverage some of her investments and take a loan against maybe her investments or her other property to come up with the cash that she needs to buy the house. But I do believe she's going to have a hard time with traditional lending because of how she structured her income. And obviously when you're an entrepreneur, it's a little harder to qualify versus a W-2 employee. So that was the other thing. If you're an entrepreneur, you just want to make sure you're showing enough income. So A, you're paying in Social Security, and B, if you wanted to qualify for a mortgage, the income is there. And if it's not there, then I would plan in advance to buy a house, because remember, when banks are lending for a mortgage, they like to see consistent income. And so they always get a little weary of the entrepreneurs because our income is variable. So that was another, I thought, interesting takeaway from Sarah's episode. So those are the learning lessons that I think were the most relevant for those three episodes. And I'm going to try and pull out the learning lessons going forward. We'll see how this works. Let me know if you like this idea and if this is helpful of what the takeaways should be. I believe the key takeaways here is when it comes to an early retirement, you need to plan in advance, reduce debt, increase savings, keep your expenses low. And then when it comes to this more high-end planning as an entrepreneur, you want to remember you can always lend against your non-investment or your non-retirement accounts. They're using collateral lending. You will or can cap yourself out at a Roth IRA, or you might be able to maintain contributing to a Roth IRA if you keep your income low. You can do some interesting things using self-directed IRAs, both Roth and traditional. You will need a third-party firm to do that who specializes in self-directed vehicles. And then lastly, if you're going to qualify for a house, you want to make sure that you have the income to support the mortgage you're looking for. And they usually want to go back a couple of years for that. So hopefully that was helpful. If you like the show, please follow and subscribe and share with a friend. And you can follow us, we're changing this up a little, you can follow us on YouTube or TikTok. And that's it. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.